Amen. Yes, thank you to all of you that served at that event yesterday. What a great way to demonstrate the love of Christ in a practical way in our community. And on Janice's behalf, I also want to say to you ladies, thank you so much for the great birthday party that you gave to her yesterday. And today is actually Janice's 60th birthday, today. So happy birthday. Yes. And one of the great things about this weekend is Janice's sister Linda and her husband Dennis came up from Southern California to spend the weekend with us and to be here to celebrate Janice's birthday. So Dennis and Linda, could you guys just stand up and wave everybody? Liberty, welcome you guys. These are really special people. Yeah. And this summer, in July, Janice and I will celebrate our 38th wedding anniversary. 38 years. That's quite a while. And I gotta say, while no marriage is perfect, ours has been really, really good. And it's mostly thanks to Janice. I will say that. Yeah. And you know, 60 years ago when Janice was born, I didn't know her yet, but God knew all about her, all about her life, and knew we would eventually meet. And God knew exactly what I needed in my life. And God gave me such a beautiful gift in my wife, and I'm just so, so thankful for her. Thank you for your expressions to her, the little cards, the notes. I got to tell you, Janice's love language is words of affirmation, and she read every single card last night, word for word, and she was just so blessed by your expressions of love toward her. So thank you so much. It really does mean a lot to us, all right? Now listen, I know you can't tell yet, but 6 weeks ago, I started going back to the gym, all right? Yes. Join Southern Oregon Fitness, owned by these guys right here toward the front, and it's Tegan and Justin Yarbrough, and it's been a great experience, but I got to tell you, for those of you who just over the years, you're just consistent in your exercise and your diet, and you're just even, God bless you. You're amazing. For some of us, it's kind of an up and down experience, for sure. So you know how it is when you haven't worked out for a while, like a long while, and then you go back to the gym, it's hard. I mean, it's painful. My very first workout 6 weeks ago, I mean, I was so out of breath and I was dripping sweat. They were putting my body in positions I didn't even know I could do. And then the coach gets up and says, "The stretch is over. It's time to begin the workout." I was like, I thought that was the workout. Now, I got to tell you that working out, it's a spiritual experience for me. Might not be for you, it's a spiritual experience. Maybe it doesn't sound spiritual, but personally, I pray a lot when I'm working out. Like halfway through, I am asking God to forgive me of every dietary sin I've ever committed. And near the end of the workout, I am asking for the rapture to happen. I'm saying, Lord Jesus, if there's any way you could come before I have to do this next push-up, I would really, really appreciate it. How many of you have just ever said, Lord, if you could just come right now, I would be happy? Anybody here? Yes. And sometimes our motivations, you know, aren't exactly what they should be, but the reality is Jesus is coming back. And so today we're going to be talking about the rapture of the church. Now, over the years, I've heard people say things like, Tim, I don't really like getting on into all of this prophecy stuff. I just like sticking with the basics of the Christian faith. Well, listen, approximately 30% of the Bible is prophecy. More than 10,000 of the 31,102 verses in the Bible are prophecy. So half of those have already been fulfilled. So what I'm saying today is If you want to get to the basics, prophecy is basic. It is one of the basics. The second coming of Jesus is mentioned over 1,800 times in the Old Testament and over 300 times in the New Testament. So it's one of the most important things that we could study in the Bible. And the rapture, which we're talking about today, is something that every Christian should know about, and not only know about, be excited about it. So today we're going to talk about the rapture. One of the great things about Bible prophecy is it motivates us to continue to share with our loved ones, with our families, about Jesus. That God wants them to be saved, to come to know Him. So whether the Lord comes in our lifetime or not, the truth is we are closer today to the second coming of Christ than we've ever been. And we see just unfolding before our very eyes the things that the Bible said years ago would happen. Just this past week, we've seen all of this unrest once again in the nation of Israel as they've been under attack by Hamas. And Hamas is a very large terrorist organization that's backed and funded by the nation of Iran. Now, Iran and also Russia geographically are in the area that the book of Revelation refers to as Gog. And we know that in the end times, at the Battle of Armageddon, this region of Gog is going to come against the nation of Israel, and then Jesus is going to come back a second time. Now, one of the things that we need to understand about the second coming of Christ is it really comes in two phases. The first phase is the rapture of the church, and then Jesus is going to come back a second time. So anytime the nation of Israel is in the news, my spiritual ears perk up, and I start saying, Lord, is it now? And we need to remember, church, that all of these things, when they happen, we need to remember that God is in control. Amen? As one Bible prophecy expert says, things are not falling apart, they're falling into place. Yeah. God's got it all under control. Isaiah 46:10, this is a verse that we've looked at a couple of times in this series. God says, I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. This is the God that we serve, church. Amen? Yes. Now, when it comes to the rapture, some people will point out the fact that the word rapture is not found in the Bible. And this is true. But I'd also like to point out this morning that the word Trinity is not found in the Bible either. In fact, did you know that the word Bible is not found in the Bible? But the Trinity is still real, the Bible is still real, and the rapture is still real. The word rapture simply means to be caught up or snatched away. And the main place we find this idea of being caught up or taken up by the Lord is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning at verse 16. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with the loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up, there it is, caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. So this word caught up comes from the Greek word harpazo, which means to catch up or to take away. So, if you don't like using the word rapture, you could use the word harpazo if you'd prefer. Or you could say the catching up or the taking away. Call it the great escape if you want. Or the final blast off. Whatever you want to call it. It's the rapture of the church. And one of the things I love in this scripture is it starts off by saying the Lord himself will come. In other words, Jesus is going to make a personal appearance to come back to retrieve his bride. I love that. He's not going to send an angel. He's going to come himself to receive his church unto himself. So it's important for us to know that the rapture, this event, the rapture, is a second event or a different event from the second coming. The rapture will happen first, and then at a later date, Christ will return to the earth. And at the second coming of Christ, when he returns to the earth at the end of the Battle of Armageddon, Jesus is actually going to come down onto the earth and begin his thousand-year reign on earth. At the time of the rapture, Jesus doesn't come all the way down to the earth. It says, we will meet the Lord, where? In the air. We'll meet the Lord in the air. So the second coming of Christ is a different event. The second coming of Christ is going to be a day of judgment on the earth. The rapture of the church is a day of salvation and rejoicing. And there's several events that need to take place before the second coming of Christ. The Antichrist is going to come into power. The temple in Jerusalem will be rebuilt. There will be 7 years of great tribulation. The Battle of Armageddon will take place. And then Christ will return to the earth and he will bind up Satan for 1,000 years. So there's several events that are going to take place before Christ actually sets foot on the earth. On the other hand, there's nothing else that needs to take place before the rapture. The rapture can happen at any time. And when it happens, it's going to happen quickly and it's going to happen without any warning. Look at Paul's wording in verse 17. We who are still alive, circle that word we. That means Paul himself fully expected that Jesus might come in his lifetime. In other words, he believed that the rapture was imminent. It could happen at any time. Jesus put it this way in Matthew 24. He said, two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken, the other left. Therefore, keep watch because you do not know on what day the Lord will come. So it's going to happen quickly, it's going to happen suddenly, and people aren't going to be expecting it. And for those that are left behind after the rapture, it's going to be a terrible thing to be left behind after the rapture. Some people, I believe, will be completely oblivious to what's just happened. They have no knowledge of the rapture. Some people, I believe, are so set in their evil ways that even though they'll know what took place, they'll just continue to harden their heart in rebellion against God. But some people, I believe, are going to be filled with incredible remorse and fear because suddenly they're going to know that they missed it, that they missed their opportunity. They're going to remember hearing about the rapture in a Sunday school class. They're going to remember a church service just like this one this morning. They're going to remember a pastor who told them about the rapture. They're going to remember that friend that shared Christ with them. And they're going to know that they've missed it. So the knowledge of the return of the Lord, church, should motivate every Christian to live a holy life. Amen? We should live in preparation of the rapture. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. We know that when Christ returns, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves, just as he is pure. So the knowledge of the Lord's return should motivate us to live a holy life. You know, some people, it seems that their approach is to try to live as close to the world as possible, but at the same time, stay saved enough to make it into heaven when Jesus comes back. But church, this should not be the attitude of the true follower of Jesus Christ. Amen? when asked what the greatest commandment was, remember Jesus? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. With everything you got, love God. To me, that doesn't sound like a person who's just trying to get by. Amen? This is a person who's all in with the Lord, who's looking for his return. And I would say that our response to the second coming of Christ is kind of a barometer of where we are spiritually. If when we talk about the rapture of the church, it makes you uneasy and queasy and nervous and you're not sure, you know, if you really want it to happen, it's probably an indicator of where you are spiritually. But if when you think about the rapture, you think, bring it on, God, that probably isn't barometer for you about where you are in your walk with the Lord. So what's going to happen when Jesus comes back, when the rapture happens? What's going to take place? Well, a lot of different things, but a couple of things that are highlighted here in this 1 Thessalonians 4 passage. The first thing that's going to happen in Christ will be raised to life. The occasion for Paul writing this letter, or this section of the letter to the Thessalonians, is the fact that some of them had become worried about what was going to happen to their loved ones who'd already died. They're wondering what's, you know, my loved one died, they knew Jesus, now they're gone, Jesus hasn't come back yet, am I ever going to see them again? What's happened to them? And so Paul is answering that question for them. And if you go back to verse 13, brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death. By the way, Paul didn't want the church to be uninformed, and I want you to know today, God doesn't want you to be uninformed either. God wants you to know his word. He wants you to know his promises. He wants you to know what's going on. And as your pastor, I don't want you to be uninformed either. I want you to know the word of God. I want you to know what he has to say about things, right? Enough just listening to the world's perspective. Let's hear from God. God, what do you have to say about this? Don't be uninformed about the word of God. Don't be uninformed about what's happening in the world around us. Brothers and sisters, we don't want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. So when our loved ones die, of course we grieve. We're sad. It's natural. It's normal, right? But we're not overcome with grief as believers. We don't grieve like people who don't have hope. Why? Because we have hope. Our hope is in the Lord, and we know we're going to see our loved ones again someday. So one of the things that's going to happen is those that have gone on before us, they're going to be raised back to life. So Paul, again, in verse 16, the dead in Christ will rise first. Not only are they going to make it, they're going to go before us. At the time of the rapture, there's going to be a great resurrection from the dead. Followers of Jesus Christ who died over the last 2,000 years, that's a lot of people, they're going to be raised back to life when Jesus comes back. I've often said that when Jesus comes back, I hope I'm somewhere near a cemetery because I just want to see the dirt clods flying. When a Christian dies, our body does go into the ground, but the Bible says our spirit goes immediately to be with the Lord. When Jesus comes back, our bodies are going to be resurrected from the dead, and our spirit will be reunited with our bodies, and we're going to be transformed into the image of Jesus. That's what's going to happen first. The dead in Christ are going to rise. The second thing is going to happen, answers this question, what happens to Christians who are alive when Jesus comes back? And personally, what better way to go, right? That'd be a wonderful way to go, is just have Jesus come back now, right? So what's going to happen? Well, we're going to go up right after them. And our bodies, they're going to be transformed as well. And then we'll be together with our loved ones and with Jesus for all eternity. Going over to 1 Corinthians 15, Paul writes this, "We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable," going to have a new imperishable body, "and we will be changed." So our bodies are going to be transformed at the rapture, and then we're going to leave this place. And notice Paul's wording here. He says this is going to happen in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye. Now, I don't know exactly how fast the twinkling of an eye is, but it sounds pretty fast. In the twinkling of an eye, it's going to happen. So for anyone who might be thinking, well, I'm just going to wait until the rapture happens and I'm going to get saved at the last second. No, there's not going to be time for that. In the twinkling of an eye, it's going to be over. The twinkling of an eye. It's not going to be time to get saved now, then. That's why the Bible says today is the day of salvation. It's not something you want to put off. It's not going to be like people are going to be like, oh, Jesus is coming back. Lord, I ask my... It's going to be over. Lord, I repent. No, it's going to be over. In the twinkling of an eye, it's too late. It's going to happen suddenly. It's going to happen quickly when Jesus comes back. So the dead in Christ will rise, and then believers who are still alive, we're going to go up and we're going to be changed as well. And it's going to be a time of incredible joy. We're going to be celebrating, guys. It's going to be incredible rejoicing. It's going to be the best thing that's ever happened to us. Amen? It's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing. And that's why Paul writes at the end of this passage in verse 18, "Therefore, encourage one another with these words." These are words of encouragement. Something that we look forward to with great anticipation. And we're going to be reunited with our loved ones. Janice and I, we both have grandparents that are going to be there. And we look forward to seeing them again. My father passed away when he was 38 years old. 48 years old. I was 26 when my dad died. My dad's going to be there. I look forward to seeing him. Janice has a sister that passed away when she was just a young girl. She's looking forward to seeing Cheryl. And all of us, we're going to be reunited with grandparents, with parents. Some of you, you have children that are already there. Brothers and sisters, Christian friends. I look back, I've been the pastor here at Bethel for 23 years now. In a 23-year period, we've had a lot of friends from our church that have already gone on to be with the Lord. Many, many of our longtime friends, we're going to see them again. Amen? I can't prove this in the Bible. I just think, I hope this is true. I got to believe somewhere in eternity we're going to get to have a big Bethel Church reunion barbecue. I mean, we're just going to get together and tell stories and remember the good old days, amen, and tell some good stories and have some laughs. And yeah, it's going to be amazing. And then the best part of all, of course, is not only are we going to see our loved ones, we're going to see Jesus, right? We're going to see the Lord. This year marks my 50th anniversary of when I gave my life to Christ. Hard to believe for me. I gave my life to Jesus 50 years ago. And I can honestly say I love Jesus more today than I did even at first. He just gets better and better. I love him more all the time. But the reality is, as much as I love Jesus, I've never seen him yet. I mean, he speaks to me, and I talk to him, and I know he's present with me, and there's times where I really feel his presence very strongly. So I love the Lord. I know he's with me. I know he's in me. But I've never seen him yet. Think about this. When he comes back, we're going to get to see him. Right? And we're going to get to be with Jesus forever and ever and ever. Yeah. Now, some of you might be thinking to yourself, well, okay, Tim, but why is it taking so long? I mean, Christians have been talking about this rapture thing for 2,000 years now. That's a long time to wait, 2,000 years. Why is it taking so long? Well, we don't even have to wonder because the Bible tells us why it's taking so long. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you. Everybody say patient. He's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. So why hasn't Jesus returned yet? One reason, and one reason only. It's the love of God. It's the love of God. He doesn't want anyone to perish. I'll be honest with you, when I was in high school, I graduated in 1978. I didn't think I was going to make it until graduation. Not because I was getting bad grades, I just thought Jesus was going to come back before I even graduated from high school. I was so sure Jesus was going to come back. So I want to ask a question this morning. How many of you have found Christ since 1978? Amen. I got to say, I wanted Jesus to come in 78, but for your sake, I'm glad he waited. I'm glad he gave you time. So this is how we have to view it. It's not that God has forgotten us. It's not that he's not going to come through. He's going to come back. But between now and then, what it's all about is people finding Jesus. Amen? It's people finding Jesus. How many of you have loved ones that you're praying for right now to get saved before Jesus comes back? Anybody here? Yeah. That's our prayer. And after all, what could be more important for us to pray about? And so this is why Jesus delays. He doesn't want anyone to perish. That's why he's waiting. This is why the Bible tells us to make the most of every opportunity. This is a day of opportunity. Amen? This is a day of opportunity. Day's not going to last forever. He's going to return like a thief. Right now is a day of opportunity. Now is when we should be praying for our loved ones. Now is when we need to be talking about Jesus. Amen? Not later, now. Now is when we need to be talking about Jesus. Now, perhaps you're here this morning or watching online and you're wondering, how can I know that I'm ready for the rapture? How can I know that I'm ready? Listen, the way to know, the one and only way to know that you're going to be ready then is to make sure you're ready right now. Right? The way to know that you're going to be ready then is to know that you're ready right now. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15 says, anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. The book of life. Okay, so I don't know if that's a literal book, but it's a spiritual book. God knows who belongs to him. God knows those who've given their life to Christ. The only way you can know that you're going to be ready then is to be ready now. And the only way to be ready now is to come to know Jesus. He is the only way. It's through faith in him. It's through trusting in salvation through his blood. It's through his death on the cross, the blood that he shed for us, his resurrection. This is how we can know that we're ready. And the Bible doesn't want you to leave it to chance. He doesn't want to have you leave it to guesswork or I just hope that I make it. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13 says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. So God doesn't want us to leave it to chance or wondering or guessing. You can actually know today that you're ready for Jesus to come back. And he wants every one of us to have that assurance of salvation. And so before we do another thing, I want to make sure that you know that you're ready. That would be my biggest prayer today, that if there's anybody here or anybody watching online and you don't know that you know that you know that today before you leave this place, before you sign off, that you're going to know that things are right with God. Yes. So would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes for just a moment? Hallelujah. As we've been talking about this really important topic of the rapture, my prayer for you is that you're going to know that you're ready. You're going to know that you're ready. And the one way you can know is through Jesus Christ. And so this morning, I'm going to lead us in a prayer. I'm going to invite those of you, if you're not sure about where you are with the Lord, today's your day to make a decision. And I got to say, and I don't mean any disrespect, this is not something you want to mess around with or play games with. It's your eternal soul we're talking about today. And so I'm going to give you the opportunity. I'm going to count to three. And when I get to the number three, if today you want to give your life to Jesus or recommit your life to Jesus, you haven't really been walking with the Lord, you want to recommit your life to Christ. When I get to three, I just invite you to raise your hand up. And when you raise your hand up, you're just saying, Tim, that's me. Today I want to give my life to Christ, or I want to recommit my life to Christ. Okay? Here we go. I'm going to count to three. On three, you raise your hand. You want to pray today. If you're online and you want to pray with me, you raise your hand. I'll begin counting now. One, two, three. Today's your day. God bless you. Others today. Today's your day. Today's your day. I'll wait just a moment. Yeah. Awesome. Church, pray right now. Pray. Pray that the Spirit of God moves in people's hearts and lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's spiritual. Any others today? All right. I'm going to pray with those who've raised their hand, those who are responding online. I'm going to ask all of you to pray along with me this morning. Lord Jesus, I want to be ready. I want to be ready for when you come back. And I know today the only way to be ready is through you. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And I believe that you have risen from the dead. Lord, today I invite you to come into my life. Please forgive me of my past. I give my future to you. I give my life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says that all of heaven, all the angels of heaven, rejoice over one who's come to Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, I want to pray for something else this morning. Now, how many of you have loved ones that you're praying for and you're asking God, Lord, save them before you come back? Anybody here? Yeah, I think probably most of us. Let's stand together and we're going to do that right now. We're going to cry out to God. We're going to cry out to God. Listen, church, when we're praying for lost people to find Jesus, it's spiritual warfare. The devil hates God so much, the devil already knows he's going to spend eternity in hell. And he hates God so much, he wants to drag as many people into hell as he can. Our job as Christians is to pray and talk about Jesus and do spiritual warfare and rescue the perishing. Amen? And we can't take this lightly. It's serious business. And so let's pray and let's continue to pray. We're going to pray this morning, but let's continue to pray. Don't give up. I know some of you, you've been praying for, I prayed for my dad for 8 years before he came to Christ. It's a long time to pray for somebody and not give up. And I know some of you, you've been praying for longer than that. And I'm going to believe with you that just as God saved my parents, he's going to save your loved ones as well. So let's pray together right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up, God, our loved ones to you, God. We lift up our parents to you, God. We lift up our moms and dads that don't know you. In Jesus' name, we pray, God, that you will save them before it's too late. God, we come into agreement right now, God, with parents that have children that are prodigals. Maybe they were brought up in church, but they've drifted away. They've walked away. They're not serving you today. God, we pray in the name of Jesus that those prodigals are going to come home in Jesus' name. And just as you, God, welcomed the prodigal son back when he woke up, God, when he woke up and he got out of that pig field and he came back home, you were there to meet him. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd put your arms, God, around our children that have walked away, Lord. They have forsaken the faith. We pray, God, they're going to come back to you, Lord. And you're going to receive them back into your family, God. In Jesus' mighty name, God, we lift up, God, our brothers and sisters, co-workers to you, our neighbors to you. God, in Jesus' name, we pray, God, for revival, Lord. For revival, for an outpouring of your Spirit, God. Upon our valley, upon our state, God, upon our nation, we pray, God, for a mighty outpouring of your Holy Spirit. We pray, God, that your church is going to come alive, God. Churches that have fallen asleep, God. Churches that are sleeping, God. They're asleep in the light. God, we pray that you're going to resurrect churches, God. Bring them back to life, God. Pour out your Holy Spirit. God, we pray there be a great move of God in our land, Lord. Hallelujah. And God, even as we've been seeing Israel, Lord, and we pray for their peace, God, we know ultimately, God, the only hope for Israel is Jesus. That you're the one that brings peace. And so, God, not only do we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, God, we pray that they're going to find Jesus and know that you're the Messiah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, we pray that you will do, God, what people might call impossible. And we declare that there's no one that you cannot save, Lord. God, there's no sin you cannot forgive. There's no chain that you cannot break, God. There's no bondage that you can't deliver people from, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray that you will set alcoholics free, set drug addicts free in the name of Jesus. God, those that are steeped in depression, God, those that are close to suicide, we pray, God, that you will set them free, God. God, that you will restore life and joy to them, God. We thank you, Lord. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Come on, lift your voice to the Lord, church. Lift your voice to the Lord. Praise him today. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, Lord. We praise you, God.